Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Mary's Happy Half Hour. I am interviewing India Holden today, a reinvented woman. Hi, India, are you with us?
Yes, hi, Mary. I'm right here. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am too. I'm in Seattle here, and it is a sunny day, a little cold, but sunny, and I love the sunshine, so that is a happy beginning.
Oh, and it's the Christmas season. We have sunshine here. As you know, I'm just a little south of you on beautiful Anderson Island, and
right.
We get to speak out to the world from wherever we are. I love these technologies that allow us to share our stories and hopefully inspire other women. So I love
our radio show
is really just set out to help us chat about what we're up to in life, inspire other women that might be ready to reinvent themselves or really just go after a career that they love. So India, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you're up to in life right now?
Yes, absolutely. I just thought, you know, I'll take some notes because there's so much going on. I don't want to just talk for half an hour about all the things I envisioned for 2017. So here's just a few things. For instance, right now I've just released my second book. It's called Crafting a Happy Life. What better
time
to have a book called Crafting a Happy Life? And it is available in paperback right now on Amazon, and it's going to be available on Kindle shortly, you know, as soon as I publish that. So, and I also, of course, have another book, which is The World is Better Than You Think. I released that last year, and I would say that that's also quite timely. And then in the spring, I'm so excited about this. I'm nervous but excited. I'm going to start a video blog because I just love that idea of, like, having the viewer see me rather than just read, because I have a blog on my website, which I'm continuing.
Oh, okay.
And then what's also in the pipeline is a number of other short reads. So the Crafting a Happy Life is just like a two-hour read or something. You can, like on a Sunday afternoon, you can just start reading it and get the entire idea. It's one idea, one uplifting, inspiring idea that helps transform your life or allow you to have the life that you want. And so I plan on releasing a number of those.
Fantastic.
Go ahead.
I'm just finishing up a book. It should be published within the week, actually, and it's called Women's Easy Guide to Reinventing You, The Fun Pathway to Your Dream Career in 11 Easy Steps. And mine is just, you know, my background is as a CPA and MBA, financial stuff, but I've really gone more in the direction of trying to think from a prosperity consciousness more than a scarcity mode. And for me and my clients, as you know, when I first met you and your wonderful husband, Stephen, many years ago, my real focus was to help people maximize their legal tax deductions. And I was all about, how can we save another penny and another penny, which is still fantastic to do. But I also realized that falls sort of in the realm of scarcity mode. And what I want is for me and my tax clients to have so much prosperity that you have a tax bill to pay. Like, we deduct everything we can, and then there's still so much abundance flowing in, you have to write a tax check. Oh, well, that's good, right? That's a good sign that you've maximized and done the smart things with money, but you can also open up to abundance. And I describe abundance in all kinds of ways, and really what's in the bank account has very little to do with abundance in my world. I think of abundance as having a healthy day where I can hop out of bed and walk on my own 2 feet. I recently have broken 2 wrists over the last year and a half, one at 2 different injuries, and I experience a lot. I really appreciate even being able to hold a pen or type on my keyboard or hold my phone. And I feel abundance from my husband and son doing so much for me to help step up where I was unable to do the normal things I could do. And I feel abundance to look out at the beautiful sunshine and to be in a warm house. How do you describe abundance, India?
You know, to me, abundance is aliveness and happiness. I would say that my entire life, even when I was a small child, I started very happy. And I have had brushes with depression, actually, in my life, which which and there was circumstantial depression, like when the first Iraq war happened. And so that makes me appreciate happiness even more. So I think that happiness is a true abundance, because when you have mm-hmm. happiness at your core, then no matter what's going on around you, that is what your foundation rests on. That's what your life rests on as a foundation. So I think that's the ultimate abundance to me. Whether you have money or don't have money, if you have happiness, then I think you've won the lottery. I think then you've got it. And for like even today, this morning, just seeing the sunshine, to me that's abundance. It's just seeing the light on the leaves. I have this beautiful green hedge that I'm looking out my window right now. And just seeing the sunlight lay on the green leaves and just make them, illuminate them. I mean, that to me is abundance. That to me is a source for happiness.
Absolutely. And I'm also seeing some beautiful green glistening, and I see that there's moisture. And I rode my bike from Canada to Mexico along the coast, and there was a bunch of signs for drought in California. And I spent a couple of summers doing that. And seeing that drought, it's very, very serious in California, and considering that there's so much farmland that requires water and people to be able to just, I mean, now it's to the point where people are having to worry about even having drinking water and stuff. So I find abundance in the rain we get here in the gorgeous Pacific Northwest, and I certainly love it when the sun shines after a good night's rain to fill our wells. There's so much abundance.
Yeah.
India, in my book, and I bet you your book, I'm going to ask you more about this. In my book, the number one chapter is to go in and pull out your true purpose in life, to try and pull out your real reason for getting up and jumping out of bed and doing what you love. And then I go into some chapters of self-love and working on relationships, and they go into allowing the abundance in that you deserve, you know, how your prosperity consciousness, etc. But really starting out with doing what you love, I think that's abundance. If I love inspiring people to start a business that they're really turned on by, whether it's photography or, like in your case, working spiritually with people, people doing what they really love. So first of all, I want to ask you, are you in your life doing what you love, and are your books on that topic as well?
Yes, absolutely. I write about things that I practice in my own life, because that's the only thing I feel I'm qualified to write about. So let me talk about the crafting a happy life. So what I saw, you know, how come my life is happy? No matter what, I mean, I have challenges. You know, last year my business was threatened. Its very life was threatened by some business changes that were external. A couple of years ago, I had a major health scare that I wasn't sure I'm going to live to age 60. Last year I was diagnosed with something that I have no symptoms, nothing. So there are these certain scares, and yet I have this happiness. So I said to myself, you know, how did I make that happen? Why am I this happy person? And I saw that, right? I saw that a lot of it has to do with noticing the good around me. And my first book, The World is Better Than You Think, is all about that. But Crafting a Happy Life is sort of builds on it. There are so much good around us. And the question is, what are we noticing? Are we noticing the things that get our attention on the primal level, which is all about survival, and then you notice a lot of negative things? Or are you noticing things that you're intending to notice, where you say, I want to notice that? So noticing the good falls in that category. Today I'm going to go, and when I go shopping, I'm going to commit to noticing the good things that happen. And suddenly you notice people smiling at you. You notice people being generous and kind. And so crafting a happy life built on that, because it's not enough to just notice the good for this inner happiness to happen. It also requires something else, and that's unqualified love. So what is that, unqualified love? Well, let's first say what qualified love is. Qualified love is that love is present if such and such is present. And when that's the case, you're completely at the mercy of what's present and at the mercy of what you're capable of noticing. Whereas if you have unqualified love, then it's love as a tool. You love not because something happened to cause you to love, but you love because you intend to love. And that is unqualified love, where you're saying, this is what I'm bringing. This is what I'm bringing to life. I'm bringing love to life. And, of course, you start with yourself. So that's, you know, the first, I would say, challenge is to how to love yourself unqualified. So without conditions. This is another way people talk about it, unconditional love. But, of course, unconditional is sort of that would feel like, oh, there has to be no condition for love. But there are always conditions. We can't change that. There's always life happening. But if you say unqualified, that means that nothing has to qualify as a reason. So the conditions can be what they are, but that nothing has to qualify for you to be happy, for you to choose happiness. And so you start with yourself and basically sweet talk yourself. So in this book, I take the reader on a journey. I was imagining Huckleberry Finn and his friend Tom Sawyer, and I was imagining Huck's travel down the Mississippi. And it just kind of stayed with me the entire time while I wrote this. It's sort of like these adventures, and it's like sort of being up to it. And that's the metaphor that I'm envisioning for being up to taking this journey to sweet talk yourself, to, you know, to eat that spiritual pie, that apple pie or rhubarb pie that is going to make you feel happy. So in any moment, you know, what right now will make me happy? Like right now what makes me happy is you and I being on the phone and talking about things that are exciting and that make a difference in the world. And so when you practice unqualified love with yourself, when you start to sweet talk yourself, it starts to, you know, radiate out into the world. And it
has a ripple effect.
Exactly. It has a ripple effect. And this ripple effect then creates a feedback loop where because your love for yourself ripples out into the world, then that makes effects out there, it causes something out there, and that comes back to you.
I remember seeing something that said falling in love with yourself or gaining self-love, etc. I grew up actually thinking it was selfish to focus on loving myself or even to say that I really like me. I thought that was just the word conceited came to mind all the time. And then I realized I read something that said loving yourself is the most selfless thing you can do. And I thought, what? That's a change. That's a turnaround on my thought patterns around that. And then I read further and realized the more we put love into ourselves, the more we are a joy to be around, the more, you know, we're going to be just more pleasant at the grocery store, to the bank teller, to our coworkers, to our children, our parents, our spouses, or anyone we're around. The more we put some time into developing a self-honor and a self-love as is, not, oh, after I do this, then I'm going to love myself, but loving me as is right now and then going from there. And it's a continual work in progress, right? So
yeah,
what do you do for self-love?
It's an ongoing evolution. So you're asking me, what am I doing for self-love?
What I'm
doing is exactly what I wrote in Crafting a Happy Life. I sweet talk myself. So especially, the amazing thing is that the easiest way to do it is by accessing the times when you don't love yourself. So if I'm saying to myself, what the heck did you just do? I'm like, right there. There is an opportunity. And I go, hey, India, you're such a sweetheart and you are so concerned and you want to do well. And I appreciate that. So I talk to myself like in the first person or the third person, depending on how I feel in the moment. And I say, you know, I get why you got upset because you just have this tremendous commitment and how wonderful is that? And so I turn it around, you know. It's like every negative has a positive and every positive has a negative. So when I find myself being hard on myself, that's when I take the opportunity to be generous and loving and kind. Like I imagine myself being a 5-year-old little being. I mean, how do we treat them? You know, we encourage them. We're generous with them. We tell them we believe in them. We trust in them. We see their greatness. We see their possibility. And that's what I do with myself.
Oh, I love it. Hey, India, before we have another 13 minutes or so on our show, but before we get to the end and I run out of time, I wanted you to share with our listeners how they can reach out to you for more information. Do you have a website, a phone number?
Yes.
How do people get hold of you?
Yes. I have a website. It's indiaholden.com. So that's very simple.
Great.
And India, like, you know, spelled like the country India. And I have this great blog, which is called inkshots.org. Ink, like the inkwell, and then shots, like something you shoot, inkshots.org. And I can also be reached by phone. Do you want me to give the phone number? Or
if you're comfortable, yes.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Or they can get
I'm
it
very
on your
comfortable
website
hearing
or whatever.
From people. Yeah, they can get it. But it's 206-790-2331 is where I can be reached.
Great.
And, you know, before we kind of close it down, I've had this wonderful new development. Because we're talking about, you know, what makes you happy. So what makes you happy is finding what's at the heart for you. And, you know, I used to tint windows years ago. And then, I mean, for many years in Florida, even though really I wanted to make a difference in the world, just like you do with helping people with their abundance and their prosperity, I wanted to see people whole and healed and happy and joyful in life and present in their lives. And yet I was tinting windows because I didn't know how to articulate this. I didn't know how to do this. And then after that, I got into real estate. And what was I doing in real estate? It's not who I really am. And then, you know, the big meltdown happened, and I looked at this as the universe telling me, you know, you ought to do what you ought to do. And so it's been evolving, and that's what I would say to listeners, is that finding out who you are and what empowers you and what brings you joy and happiness evolves slowly. It's not like, bang, overnight, I finally figured out what it is, and now I'm going to go for it, out the gate and down the racetrack. It's not like that. It evolves slowly, or sometimes not so slowly, and you just got to keep listening for it and got to keep hoping for it and having trust that it is evolving. So I can see how, you know, I took my stabs and I wrote a little book in 2003, and then I taught a class about exquisite listening and how that is healing. Then I taught Jungian shadow work classes so that we can integrate the dark parts of ourselves and of what we see in the world. And so I've read books like Authentic Happiness by Martin P. Seligman, the former head of the American Psychiatric Association. And so little by little, I found myself, and we all do, little by little, we find ourselves if we keep paying attention to that's happening in the background. So you might be doing something like me, tinting windows, or you might be selling houses when that's not necessarily what you love and what's going to light up your life. But in the background, there is something that keeps evolving. And for me, the big, oh my God, was that I was in my Toastmasters club, and one of our new members, a 78-year-old teacher and professor and just all-around amazing person, did a speech on tarot. And I was like, I want you to teach me to do that. And it opened the world to me like never before. I realized that the mystical part is not just my private life. So when I have experiences with the divine, that's not just my private life for me to keep to myself. But that is actually something that I can tap into with other people. And so I do this now. I give tarot readings, and I call it divine guidance tarot, because it's not the cards. The cards are the symbol that allow for what's there in the divine sphere to be seen, to be readable, to be accessed. And I just let the divine guide me. And I am so amazed and so honored by being able to extend that experience that I've had my whole life with the divine, extend that out into the world. And so that's finally been like the final push for, okay, that's it. I'm like so completely focusing on the divine connection, on how to have other, allow other people to benefit from it. And it's now I allow that to be in my writing. So I think this is true for everyone, that we have an evolution, and that if we keep trusting that that's actually happening, even without doing something majorly dramatic or without burning down our lives and quitting our job and then getting on a sailboat, it doesn't have to be dramatic like that. If we keep having trust that it's there and we keep checking in, eventually we reach critical mass.
And you mentioned a little earlier, you mentioned how here you were tinting windows and not feeling like you were following your purpose, so to speak, and you didn't know how to really get started or what to do. And that's something else in my book. It takes you through the simplicity of starting your own business. It's super simple. You don't have to have a pile of money. You don't have to have any money, quite honestly. You take your talent bank, that which you're already good at, that which you're passionate about, and you slowly ease into it. Maybe you're already working in a job that's boring to you or whatever, but it brings in food. It allows you to eat and sleep, but you can lean into owning a business and start having one client at a time or selling one thing that you're great at making at a time. And eventually, before you know it, if you really love it, I don't say get into a business just to have a business. I say do it based on your passion. So it's a passion-driven company where you would do it for free if you could afford to. When you love what you're doing so much that you would do it for free if you didn't need to pay mortgage or whatever, then you're on the right path. But like you say, it's an evolving thing, right? Like you might start out, like I started out with tax preparation, and now I see I want to really focus on inspiring a prosperity consciousness in the world so that we quit feeling, so that we're more generous with each other, because when we feel prosperous, when I'm down to very little money in my bank, I purposely give, like at the cash register that says, would you like to donate $5 to whatever? I always do, just as a message to the universe that I feel abundant no matter what. And even if I only have $5 in my account today, I know more is on its way. And so do you talk about stuff like that, about leaning into you, evolving to closer and closer to your purpose, or does that come up with your tarot readings?
I wouldn't say that, because I'll tell you why. And I love what you're doing, and I mean, I can hear that this is your purpose. So for me, the sense I have when I see another person, whether this is in the grocery store, like you're saying, I'm just on the sidewalk, or someone I'm giving a coaching session to, because I'm also a trained life coach, so it's divine guidance coaching. When I do that, what I see is the divine manifesting as that person. And that person is on their divine path and having, it's that adventure, it's that journey. So if that journey does not include a sense of abundance, I honor that as well. It's like that is that manifestation. That is that experience of the divine. So I feel that everyone I feel everyone is winning already, all the time. Even lives that we judge as terrible lives. It's on the meta level, in the divine sphere, there is no terrible life. There is an acknowledgement of suffering, and that's very real to us in this illusory world, but it's not the ultimate truth. So I honor every path, and I honor everywhere where people are, and I see all of it ultimately as an expression of the divine. So I don't feel if you have something lacking, here, let me try and fix you. It's more, you know, you are whole and wise and divine as you are. As you are.
Yeah.
Do you see how that ties in with this unconditional, this unqualified love and this unqualified acceptance? So that's the first thing I do with people, is trust, completely trust that the divine is present in their lives. I think it's even more than that. I believe each of us is a literal manifestation of the divine. So I see that, I trust that. So we are starting already at a ground zero that is whole and that is divine, that is beautiful. And then we just get more exciting, more adventure, more new things, more thrills, more insight, more evolution, rather than coming from nothing. We're starting with everything, and then we're having an awesome adventure.
I love what you're sharing. I love what you're up to in the world. My string of interviews with fantastic women, the common thread is that they've reinvented themselves, or they're working on that now with their careers. And the reason I focus on careers is because it takes up, you know, a very large portion of your waking hours, right? Really about a third of your, or more of your, two-thirds of your waking hours are getting ready for, going to, coming home from, preparing for, studying for your career. So how about try to lean in the direction of making it one that you're passionate about, one that you love. If you're going to spend that much of your fantastic journey working, please do it in a, and this continues to evolve, right? To please try and continue listening to your inner voice, to your divine guidance that leads you towards your divine purpose, if you will. So another common thread amongst all of these fantastic women who have reinvented yourselves, and I'm one of them. I count myself as a fantastic woman who's reinvented myself, and will keep on reinventing, right? It sounds like you've reinvented yourself from the window tinting to real estate to your divine life coaching. And
Now the tarot. And before that, in Germany, I was a recording artist. I mean, oh. I think this is, you know, we call it, you know, we grow up and then we grow old, but really we are evolving. And part of evolution is that we're, in a sense, every day is a call to reinvent ourselves. I see that as a way of being fresh. Hey, it's a new day. It's another day. It's not yesterday. How can I be a fresh person today? How can I embrace life again today? How can I be present, and how can I be in love with life today? So I would say that we're, in a way, reinventing our lives every day. And if we're not doing that consciously, it's still happening anyway. Like, we think we're so stagnant sometimes, but we're not. The divine in us is always evolving us, always moving us forward. And when you notice that, then you can do it intentionally.
And in these last 30, 45 seconds or so, do you have a tip that you would share with women about just on the leap and the net will appear kind of mindset in reinventing yourself?
I don't have any tips. I wish I had one.
Or
what I
just
what
your
I
own did. Your own self story. What do you say to yourself when you're about to engage into some new thing? What's your message to you?
The message that I would have for reinventing yourself is that you are all you need to be. Everything is already in place. You are already a beautiful person. You're already a divine light in the world, and you are already